This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Hey everybody, if you know your Happy Valley attractions, you know Penn's Cave and Wildlife Park. It's the only underground cavern you can see entirely by boat, and they've got the holiday spirit. Penn's Cave and Wildlife Park's Holiday Sights and Lights will open on Friday, November 27th, and then will be offered every Saturday and Sunday through the end of November and all throughout December. It features special early evening Christmas lantern tours that are also given entirely by boat. So for more information on rates and hours on Penn's Cave's Holiday Sights and Lights, go to their website at pennscave.com. Okay, almost the holiday season. Thanksgiving, very solid. I think generally underrated holiday that we've got coming up. What do you guys think? You big Thanksgiving guy, Mike the Mailman?
I love Thanksgiving. I mean,
yeah, me too.
Actually, life's a holiday. Every day's a holiday. Come on.
It's a good one. Noble, I know you love to eat, so you've got to be a big Thanksgiving guy.
Yeah, this is definitely one of my favorites right here, man.
If you're a lineman, Thanksgiving absolutely. Is your time, right?
Sit down, eat as much as possible, and lay on the sofa. Can't beat it.
Kev, what about you? You don't strike me as necessarily the festive type, if you don't mind my saying. Where you stand on Thanksgiving?
I mean, I don't think it's underrated. I think everyone thinks Thanksgiving is the best, and it is.
Yeah, it's a top two holiday for me.
We're laid back. Sure. Very laid back.
So we're trying a little something different with the podcast here this week because it is the holidays. We're just going to be releasing two back-to-back episodes. This is the first of those, and then we'll have another one coming on the heels of this one in about 24 hours, talking more Michigan. Right now, we're going to be joined by Tobias Wilborn of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, so we will talk to him on the other side. Grab your pencil and your paper. It's the obligatory PSU podcast.
I've wondered how President Nixon could know so little about Watergate in 1973 and know so much about college football in 1969.
This is the obligatory PSU podcast, presented by HappyValley.com. You've listened to all those other Penn State podcasts. Now listen to another one.
All right, we're back. We're rolling. Penn State's 0-5. Everything's terrible, but we got our chin up. We're off the mat yet again. We keep getting knocked down, Mike. We keep getting back up. Chris Buchanani here with my usual crew, campus legend Mike the Mailman.
Yo.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to say hello, but that's fine. Former Penn State and NFL defensive tackle Brandon Noble.
Yep, I'm here.
And former OnwardState.com managing editor Kevin Horn.
Yep.
So, as I alluded to, our special guest on the podcast tonight, we're glad to have you here. Tobias, thanks for coming to us from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and thanks for taking care of our guy out in Lincoln, Nebraska a couple weeks ago. I was really glad to hear that he found a friendly face to hang out
with. Man, what a small world, man. By the way, shout out to that brewery. We actually ended up going to two breweries, man. Lincoln, I tell you what, man, it's for per capita, that size. Good beer scene, good food. We did see a little bit of like a super spreader party that we walked by. I mean, I don't know if you want to.
We heard about that.
He heard. Yeah, he told us. Yeah.
Oh, dude! Like it's one thing to see stuff like that on IG or Twitter. It's another thing like to walk by it. And that poor young lady who was
right.
I could tell her heart just sank, and it's just.
Oh yeah, she was shaking up.
Yeah, nah, man. I needed another beverage after that one. A soda, because I think this is a family-friendly podcast right here.
Not at all.
Not at all.
In that case, you know, I needed another bourbon after that.
And that's exactly what we did. We were walking back from we'll start at the beginning. I'm sitting at Boiler Brewing in Lincoln. Really great brewery. Turned out to be, better than anyone in State College. No offense, State College breweries, but like legit, like world class brewery.
For real, and I was very impressed, man.
Yeah, I didn't expect that going in. As you know, where you're in Lincoln, Nebraska, but there it was. And there's only a few tables left in the whole thing. Everyone's sort of spread out. It's relatively safe. And I hear someone from the bar sort of yell over to us because we're in Penn State. Saying, "Hey, where can you go drink in State College other than Otto's, and or where are the best places to drink other than Otto's and Voodoo?" So immediately by asking it that way, like, you know, the guy knows what he's talking about because he gives you two of the best examples. So we turned over and we yelled a few other places. Then I sort of listened to the voice closer and looked over. And, you know, I'm like a nerd who watches all the press conferences, not for the answers, which all suck, but for like the questions, because that, you know, old journalism major dies hard. I used to be in those press conferences. And I recognized Tobias, who's new on the beat this year. So, of course, I identified him. He came over and then we hung out the rest of the weekend other than when he was working.
Yeah. So, which, by the way, was so weird. I was talking to the bartenders and they kind of figured out that, you know, I had either some affiliation or was there, you know, for a reason. I guess particularly, you know, I may have been out of. Well, anyway, they picked it up pretty quickly. So, you know, we're talking and then they're like, well, damn, dude, you're famous. I'm like, no, dude, it's just a weird.
Yeah. Total serendipity. And then they stayed open like an extra hour while we like went through their cellar list.
Yeah. By the way, man, what was that bottle we had of bourbon? Man, I mean, the bourbon barrel age.
I don't remember. I forget what it was called.
Incredible. Man. Yeah. No, it was a good time, man. I made it on time for a call for that 11 a.m. game. It was like basically now the stadium only opens 2 hours before games for media, which is weird because typically I get there like 3.5, 4 hours before. I've never been in Memorial Stadium. Typically, I try to get as early as I can because I like to walk around a stadium that I've never been, particularly Memorial, because I grew up a football fan like all of us here, obviously, and I used to love watching that Veer offense they ran back in the day, you know, through the 80s and 90s. And even though I wasn't a fan of theirs, I used to like watching them play, and I used to watch a bunch of games in the old Big Eight, you know, with Johnson on the horn and the whole nine, right? And, whoa, Dilly, you know, the whole thing, and you're all into it, you're ready, and we're live from Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Nebraska. And so one of the reasons you take a job like this is because you get to go to those places.
Yep.
And so I was there. Memorial Stadium is really cool, but I really wish I would have gotten to walk through the campus and – because I stayed at the Cornhusker, which is right there. I would have walked from my hotel through the campus into the stadium just to kind of really get the vibe. But yeah, sorry, I could talk about this stuff all day. Forgive me.
No, I mean, this is the whole point of this podcast, Tobias. Yeah. So I did walk. This is what we're talking about in the beginning here. So I did walk through the campus. I saw maybe a dozen students in a day and a half, two days, basically.
Right.
Like a dozen, literally a dozen in a campus of 30,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
So Saturday night, you know, we're doing our thing and we're going to get a couple pieces of pizza and we're leaving the pizzeria and we just hear sort of a little bit of thump, you know, boom, shh, psh, shum, shum. I'm like, all right, well, that sounds familiar. Haven't heard that in a long time. And there's this bar across the street and I couldn't tell it was really a bar, but like the windows were all boarded up or covered with paper. And, but on the bottom corner, there was like half the paper had been pulled away and we look inside. And I swear to God, it was like champs at max capacity. There was 1,000 students in there.
Wide open, man.
What is going on?
They're smoking in there. They got the hookahs going, no mask on, dancing with each other. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
It's like the
seen that forever.
And those people in two weeks are gonna go home and hug their mima at Thanksgiving dinner that they shouldn't be at anyway. Which is also why the state of Pennsylvania had to like basically stop the bars from like 5 p.m. to like Wednesday, 8 a.m. Because I mean, they know good and well if they let people do it, they're going to do the dumb thing. But hey, you know, 2020, bro.
It's like that the opening sequence of the movie Blade, except where the sprinklers spray down the blood. It's COVID-19 instead there in Lincoln. So Tobias, one of the things that I was really excited about when Kev told me you were going to come on the show is that there are a lot of folks on the Penn State beat, and God love them, they do a great job, more or less. But some of them, I have been reading their stuff since I was a fan of this program as a junior high or high school student. And so, you know, the longtime fans know a lot of the faces who have been on the beat for a while. And even like our buddy Ben Jones, who was on the show not too long ago. God, I can't believe it. But Ben's been on the beat for a decade now, which is incredible to me. Yeah, yeah, right?
I mean, it's weird because like college beats are like that in some ways.
Sure.
You know? I mean, first of all, as you guys know, obviously, every newspaper worth a damn, even the ones who aren't, cover Penn State. It's the state school. It's a big school. It's that way. You know, when I grew up in Atlanta, UGA was that way in Georgia.
Sure.
Texas, that way in Texas, so on and so forth. That, you know, old state U, right? That's what you guys are. And so when things are good for that program, I'd imagine they enjoy being written about. When things are bad, you're being covered from Pittsburgh to Philly and Allegheny and everywhere, all these weird towns that I'm still learning how to pronounce, and these places that people take it very seriously and they're not happy. I think Penn State fan believes that Penn State should be where Ohio State and Alabama and Clemson are. The reality is, and you guys know this because you guys are smart and you guys, you know, get into a little bit differently. Those three schools are playing a different sport from everyone else.
Yeah, that's the right way to put it, for sure. If anybody was still under the impression that we were close to turning that corner, we've gotten the cold water splashed on our face, for sure.
I mean, but here's the thing. It's not necessarily your fault. As an instant, I mean, there's things that could be changed. And I'm going to tell y'all this. I was talking to a really good friend of mine the other day. This is a man who's very smart, very ahead of the curve on a lot of things. If Penn State does want to get there, they better get ahead of addressing the name, image, and likeness stuff. Mm-hmm. I am telling you, the schools who get that right first. Now, again, you can't guarantee you're going to get a kid a $300,000 a year endorsement deal.
Right.
But you can show tangible metrics as to how that kid can grow a social media following. And I know, again, look, guys, I'm in my late 30s. So when I played high school ball and when I was getting recruited, you know, Rivals was barely a thing when I was coming out. So, and I'm sure Brandon, he knows that. You know what I'm saying? You know, it was, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was like, okay, like you got read about in the newspaper. That was it. You know, wherever you're from, your town, and if you grow up in a certain state, you get in the AJC or wherever you're from, depending on how that goes. You know, we weren't being followed from when we were 13 and 14 and so on and so forth. These kids are already stars with a lot of following and a lot of thing, and they see their classmates. I guarantee you, everybody on Penn State roster knows at least one person making $50,000 a year, $100,000 a year as an influencer that they know personally. And those guys are saying, well, why not me? So if Penn State wants to really get there, they better get ahead on this stuff. Because a school like Clemson, they're not going to do it because Dabo Swinney doesn't care about nobody. But that could be your in to get in to make these kids some money and get these kids some help. Because otherwise, you're going to continue to lose out to the Ohio States of the world.
It's an interesting point, Tobias. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting how that unfolds. One thing that I have to correct you on there, though, is you said that Penn State, the athletic department, likes getting written about when they're good. God willing, you will find out that is not actually the case. They don't like getting written about ever, any place, any time.
Oh, no. Written about is different from being reported on. They like to have their stuff in the – I mean, this is like they like to have their stuff in the paper.
Yeah.
Written about, they like. Reported on – that's what they don't like.
Not at all.
And there's a difference.
All right. You've been doing this long enough. You know the deal. So, Tobias, as far as this is your first year in the beat. You have yet to see a Penn State victory as a member of the Penn State football beat. You are sort of used to this because you covered the Pirates for a number of years, right? The Pittsburgh Pirates.
Shout out to the Post-Gazette for not paying me by wins and losses. Otherwise, I'd be homeless.
So tell us. We talked a little bit about this when we were out west, but tell us about – and by the way, we might go back for the rematch, the losers of both divisions out in Lincoln.
Ooh, boy.
But, good Lord.
I don't know. Book the flight now. But tell us about that transition. Why, how, when, and what it's like now going to Lincoln, Nebraska instead of L.A. and Miami and all these other places that seem like they'd be a whole lot more fun, but a bigger grind for sure.
Well, I mean, it's okay. It's weird. So baseball, as you guys know, it's 162 games, but it's not just that, right? It's spring training. Now, again, the Pirates train in Bradenton, Florida, which Bradenton is a nice enough town for a weekend. You're there for 6 weeks and it's every day and you're not on the beach. You're not surfing. You know, you're at the facility at like 8 a.m. because that's when they report. And then it's open clubhouse. Now, the first couple of days, everybody's excited. By like day four, it's 8 a.m. and they're already tired of talking to us reporters. And I get it, right? Because I'd be tired of talking to them too, quite frankly. Because, you know, I mean, first couple of days is fun. With football, I kind of want it to take a little bit of a lesser grind. Because, again, you're talking about times when you're on a road trip and you'll start in St. Louis. Then you'll go from St. Louis to Phoenix and from Phoenix to L.A. and then back. Or you may do one where you may start in Chicago and then you're in Denver, then you're in San Diego. And that's a, you know, like 12 days and you're in any city for 3 days. I'll never forget one time I was actually in San Diego and I had my room key from St. Louis and I was going to the room number from Arizona and wonder why the fuck I could get in the room. And I was just sitting there and I finally had to go on the Marriott app. Cause you know, like if you guys do this enough, all hotels, I mean, they look the same. I mean, you know, the room's pretty much set up the same. It's by design. So I'm glad to only have to travel 8 to 10 times a year. Yeah, Lincoln's a little different, but I actually wanted to experience, you know, college football. I hadn't watched much football because, quite honestly, full disclosure, I'm very conflicted about football sometimes because, I mean, it's such a violent game. You know this, man. It football takes stuff from guys, man, and you don't get it back. And it's a very unforgiving game. It's a beautiful game. We love it. That's why we watch it. That's why it's the most popular sport because there's everything that's right and everything that's wrong about America.
Mm-hmm.
All at
once. Well put.
Yeah, because think about it. When you watch a football game, it's I want to go this way. I want to run this play. That's why I don't get caught up in play calling stuff. People are like, oh, this play call wasn't inventive. Well, if that's what the guy can do and you notice what he can do well, then that's what you're going to do. It's whether they believe in it in the execution of it. Plain and simple. Do the players believe that it's going to work and will they each go out and win those battles in front of them? It's 11 battles every play. And can each guy or enough guys win that battle to make that play work? Or do you just have like a stud like a Justin Fields where even if it all breaks down, he still makes it work?
Well, in the case of Penn State, the answer is no so far, Nabias.
Well, but that's what it is. Like college football in particular, the schools who win, the Ohio States, or let's be real, it's the quarterback, bro. Like, you got to have a quarterback in today's college football game. Like, you're not getting by with some guy, with some statue quarterback. You got to have a mobile dude who can move. And he can throw it. You have to have both. You have to have a dynamic quarterback. You're not going to win football games. Not when you're neck and neck. And that's what Penn State's finding out. Because when they went to Indiana, when the ships fell, they had that boy Michael Penix. Now, he didn't get in. He did not get in the end zone. But you shouldn't even have been in that situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I want to give credit to Penix where Penix is due because I did not think Indiana was going to do nearly as well as they did against Ohio State. And as a team, they proved me wrong. And Penix played really well in that game.
Hey, they had Ohio State on the ropes. Let me tell you how. Remember that 4th-and-1? I don't know if you guys watched that full game. Remember that 4th-and-1 where they go for it? Ryan Day never would have done that.
Right.
You think he would have done it against Penn State? No, he just would have kicked the field goal. But he did it against Indiana because them boys was coming. Because one thing about Indiana, when they tackle you, dog. They wrap up. They go all the way to the ground, and they kind of lean on you that extra few seconds right till the whistle blows through. And they don't talk trash to you either. They just get up and just knock and just say, yeah, we're coming back again.
It is a hellish world, by the way. It's very fitting for 2020 that I am sitting here on our podcast with a member of the Penn State beat and listening to him accurately describe how Indiana consistently out-toughs Penn State on defense. That just makes me want to douse myself in lighter fluid and light a match. That is horrific.
I mean, but that's where it is. And so for me, where I struggle because we don't get to see them practice is I don't know why. I know what I see.
Yeah.
I see a team when they go on that field. Them boys ain't ready to hit, man. Them boys ain't ready to block like they should. Now, I don't know why because I don't know if it's Does it have something to do with how many the false positives? Because James Franklin kind of been sprinkling it out there and guys missing practice. But I tell you what, if I got a positive test right now, if I got a positive test before this show started, guess what I wouldn't be doing? This show.
This show.
Because if I found out I had a positive test, with everything that we know about this virus, you can forget about talking to me for that day. And I'm a grown man with bills. How's the college kid going to deal with it?
Yeah. Yeah. Fair point. Yeah. It's a crazy year. Sorry. Go ahead, Brandon.
No, I think that that's a great analysis of where we are defensively, though, and probably the whole team, right? Is there's a complete lack of toughness. And you can see it. You know, I hadn't thought of Indiana, and I watched part of our Indiana game, but I did get to watch a good chunk of the Indiana Ohio State game, man, and that's a spot on analysis of the way they tackle and the way that they play. And you saw it, Iowa physically beat us up, you know, and that's a whole different animal, man. And I know how they do things out there. So we're missing that right now. There's no doubt about it.
And see, BK, let me ask you this, because, like, I mean, you played at a higher level. Like, I played at Georgia Southern a little bit. I was not a guy. You were a guy. So how demoralizing is that when – take you for a school like – all right, because they didn't do nothing fancy.
Right.
Their stuff was pretty, like, old school, straight up, like, Tecmo Bowl football.
Yeah.
So how does that mess with you? When they're doing that to you, you know what they're doing. You know what's coming. You know when they're going to do it, and you can't do a damn thing about it.
It's as demoralizing as it gets out there on the field. Because, look, if you're out there on the field, you at some point or another have believed that you are the baddest son of a bitch walking around, right? And then all of a sudden, when someone else is having their way with you, no matter what you're doing, that can be almost soul-crushing, man. Like, I've had a few instances of that in my career. And one of them, it's funny because I just called the Ravens game this last week and I watched the Tennessee Titans beat them in overtime. And you watch Derrick Henry run the ball and run the ball and run the ball, right? Body blow, body blow, body blow. But we went to Baltimore. I don't know, it was probably 2000. And Priest Holmes, they had Priest Holmes.
I remember watching him.
And look, they and Jonathan Ogden, and like that O-line was massive. And they absolutely did whatever they wanted to us. There's nothing you can do. I equate it to being in Big Surf. Right? When you go out in the water and all of a sudden your feet come up off the ground and the ocean is taking you wherever it wants to go, you are humbled quickly. Yeah. And that's what it's like in those situations. And I think that's a great way to look at it. You know, our team right now is in that situation where we don't have the ability physically to just bow our necks and stop it.
Yeah.
That's hard to handle for an ego.
And see, and I think some of it too is when you look at the season, remember, you didn't know when you're going to play. James Franklin hinted at this on last Tuesday. A lot of people didn't really catch it when he said, hey, if I would have known we're going to play, I wouldn't let my guys go home. And you think about it, you had these guys all over the country, all over these different places. You know, you don't know what people can afford. You don't know.
They did a good job. You don't know if they're lifting. You don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, now, you know, from what because I wrote about this back, they did a good job on getting them nutrition and stuff as much as they could. But let's be real. If you're home and you're an offensive lineman, you eat 8 eggs a day. Your mama ain't trying to hit that.
No. I got 3 teenagers. Absolutely.
And all that stuff, and it's getting to the gym. Yeah, you could do the sandbags and all that stuff, but no, like to play football, you need to be on that iron. You need to be doing certain things, and if you aren't doing those things, you're not going to be ready to play.
And some of the guys didn't have, like you were saying, like you don't know what everybody's situation is, right? And so. Like the gym's shut down for a long time, right? So then you've got that going on too. So if you don't have the ability to lift, there's a lot of factors. I think the only thing that I come back to, right, is there are obviously some teams that were able to get tougher.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I think that for me, and this is a great conversation because I haven't thought of it this way before. For me, it shows you kind of what the fundamental culture of a program is like. Mm-hmm. Right. And Penn State right now under James is not a tough guy football team.
Yeah.
Right? It's a finesse. It's an exciting. It's a flash. It's not smoke and mirrors. I don't mean it like that, right? But it's not about we're going to line up and we're going to impose our will on the other team.
Mm-hmm.
And so a team like Iowa, a team like Indiana, a team like Ohio State that kind of has that already, it's easier to do that now, right?
So absolutely.
I mean, that's a great point. I had not even thought of that. Well,
and here's something else. You know, when did Penn State start actually getting in pads? And because I kept asking this throughout the thing, when do you start getting in those pads? Because, Brandon, you know this. The first time you tackle for real can't be in a game.
No.
Because your body just ain't going to handle it, dog. There's certain calluses and things that you have to develop. And not having spring football. And, again, I'm not excusing it because I don't know who all had spring ball or who didn't. No. Penn State didn't. And you got a new offensive coordinator. And as you said, because you're trying to do the finesse stuff.
Yep.
You got to have that stuff timed. And yep. And I don't care how many Zooms you do. When it's a timing pattern, I'm not talking about just when it's a timing pattern where, hey, you got to come out. You have to get off this break. You have to run this way. And you have to be there when that ball is there.
Yep.
So many things have to happen for that to work. And there has to be trust. Because if I'm the receiver and I don't trust that Sean Clifford is going to get me that ball, I may not come off as hard. If I'm the right guard blocking for him and I just don't believe he's going to do it, maybe just a millisecond. Or if on my mind is, hey, this guy who I hang out with, he tested positive for COVID. Am I sick? Am I going to get the guy who's got to touch me 50 times here? Am I going to get him sick? What happens when he goes? And even if that's just a thought for a millisecond, football's too violent. You could get hurt.
Not to mention that if you're that right guard in your hypothetical situation, you also got a new position coach because the head coach believed the guy you had before wasn't teaching you what he needed to teach you to get you to play up to the level that the program needs. And then what happens? Just as that guy comes in, you don't even get to meet him. The deal is like, hey, go out in your backyard with a webcam, and I'm going to try to teach you how to play offensive line. I know we haven't really met, but we'll look at each other over a video screen. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of, I think, really understandable explanations, not excuses, explanations for kind of when you add them all up, you see where we're at. I do also think, man, you haven't had real quickly, I don't know, man, have you had a chance to be at a Penn State football game when that place is rocking? Like, have you ever been to a whiteout or anything?
I have. When I moved up, when I was on Buckos, Rob Beard Temple, who's a Pirates writer, guys may heard of, he invited me up a couple times.
Yep, he's a Penn State guy.
Yeah, and so it was real cool, like just kind of just doing it and going to Berkeley Creamery and kind of just checking the scene, and it was cool. I enjoyed it as an observer. I mean, I'm an SEC guy. I mean, you know, no offense. I mean, just in case, you know, you didn't follow me on the Twitter, I give y'all props, man. Y'all do all right with the tailgating now. I mean, it's not quite Southern, but
I want a home and home with LSU in the worst way.
Oh,
that is top of my
list. You talk about some living, boy.
That's what I'm saying.
You ain't done it till you've been down there, boy. I tell you another place, if you can get past the Confederate flag stuff, Ole Miss.
Is that right? You know, it was College Game Day or the Fox show or somebody was down there about a year ago. And I thought, I'm like, that's pretty unique. Tailgate scene.
Oh yeah, there's the women with the dresses and the hats, and it's a whole thing, man. And the food is phenomenal. Drinks, you go through. Everybody shows love. Everybody's friendly.
And dropping off duffel bags with $50,000 in them all over town.
I mean, hey man, look, listen, man. Have you ever been in Mississippi?
I have.
Have you ever been in Mississippi as a black guy?
I cannot say.
Listen, man, it's hard to get it's hard to get brothers from South Florida and LA and some of these places to go to Mississippi, brother. Bro. I'm just saying, man. You gotta
incentivize, man. Oh yeah,
you gotta cut every corner.
They have to pay a premium to what Penn State and Ohio State are paying these days.
I mean, hey, man. Although, hey, I'll say this, though. And we talked about this, Kevin, off air. Yo, yeah. Columbus as a city?
Yeah.
Yo, especially if you're young and you like to move around and hit the scene, you can have a really good time in CBUS, man.
Are you going out to Ann Arbor this weekend to buy
it? Yeah, I'm going to drive over. I do not desire to get on an airplane, although I think I am going to fly to Rutgers because it's going to be a one-way, one stop. And it's like an hour, 10-minute flight, so I'll do that one. But, man, hey, if y'all don't got to travel by air until this thing is over, man, don't do it, man. It's not even worth it.
Yeah, I got back from Nebraska. I just felt like guilty, and every little twitch in my body, I'm like, oh, here it is. I'm gonna kill like the mailman at our show. Like,
what about how crowded O'Hare Airport is, though, man?
I went through. What's the other? I went through Midway, so I was.
Look, I had O'Hare both times.
Yeah,
although I did get my Gary's popcorn though.
Sure, hell.
But let me ask y'all this though. All right, so you mentioned with the O-line in particular, right, not having the symmetry. How much does that have an impact? Because, I mean, that's not small, not having those times, those reps on the line together doing the whole thing. And with Trout, we're not even able to see them physically.
Yeah, I think it's huge. And to the point about the whiteout and the atmosphere in Beaver Stadium, if you are kind of building a team, we've talked a lot about our amateur psychology experiment here, the profile of what kind of players are on the roster right now. I think we have a very emotionally volatile roster of young men. And I think that they feed off of the atmosphere in Beaver Stadium. And I think when they came out for the Ohio State game and that wasn't there, that really kind of sucked the life out of them more than it did Ohio State to not have the opposing crowd to feed off of. And then if you add up all those other factors we talked about, again, it's like there's no Rosetta Stone that unlocks the whole thing. It's just death by a thousand paper cuts. I think losing that emotional juice, I think, has just fed into the way this team is just sort of shrinking from the moment.
They just look so lethargic.
Yes.
Man. I mean, it's just like, okay, so, you know, they warm up all the same. They warm up the same way every game. It's the certain little things they do, the time they do them. It's all set up, right? Every team has their thing, whatever, you know. But you can just tell, like, those they're doing it. They're supposed to be getting hyped up doing it, but it ain't there. It's like a little boy wearing his dad's clothes. You know what I mean?
It's off. Absolutely. It's just off a little bit. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
And they are young guys, and you'll find if you're on this beat long enough, Penn State has had they haven't had a good offensive line since 2013, 2012-ish. And not only, I mean, it's been bad, right? And if you just Google your colleagues in the beat, if you Google, has Penn State's offensive line finally arrived, you will find a story basically every other year for the last decade. And these guys are not young, you know.
I mean, they were supposed to be good this year.
They were.
Seniors.
Caden Wallace, notwithstanding, I mean, they're an experienced offensive line. And they're just putrid.
They get blasted, man. It's bad.
We just keep getting sold this bag of goods that, oh, they're gelling. They've had 2-3 years together, and they suck year after year after year. So I don't know what the magic bullet is for that, but that is a consistent theme, as I'm sure you will.
Get Nolan Rucci's brother to go to Penn State and keep his paint. Oh, never mind.
We've been around that wagon. Brandon played with the dad, Todd Rucci. So that's a
– So, Brandon, you couldn't, like, call and get the boy to stay? I mean, geez.
You know what, man? If they would have recruited the older brother, they'd have had the younger brother. They'd have had them both, but they didn't.
Yeah.
So I
guess that's why you got to keep Clifford in the games, right? Because you got to still get his brother to campus because he's one of the few.
Oh, 100%. There's a lot of that going on right now, man. And here's the thing about Hayden, right, the older brother. Mm-hmm. He's starting at Wisconsin at tight end as a redshirt freshman.
That means he can play.
Huge miss by the staff.
Yeah, that's weak.
Huge. Besides the fact he's a Letterman's kid, the guy was 6. I mean, he's a giant. I've stood next to all three of them. They both make Todd look tiny. Wow. And you know, you're sitting there, and I remember looking at Ricky Ronnie, and he was telling me, yeah, everybody wants me to offer the kid, but I don't really like him. I don't know if he's good enough.
Man, you offer that. See, but that's the thing, though. Again, it's college, and little things like that matter. There's no way you're going to tell me that this kid's parents are season ticket holders. And that's not just on Franklin. That's just on the whole thing. I mean,
his dad was a trustee. He was a trustee, for the love of Christ. I mean, it's insanity that we did not offer the kid.
I mean, but then, too, you know, you look at this Derek Davis Jr. kid, kind of wonder where that's going on, losing the kid in Pittsburgh to LSU, of all places. I mean, you know, that's a little interesting. I mean, so, again, is it Franklin? Are there other factors? I mean, this little, you know, the little hazing thing is still kind of out there. I mean, I really had to be careful how I wrote about that, because there's just a lot there, and I just wrote it as straightforward as I could. But are teams using that against Penn State?
Yeah, they'll use anything against Penn State. I mean, teams will use anything against other teams. That's for certain. Whether it's true or not, that's in a. I guarantee you that Jim Harbaugh has copies of that lawsuit that was dismissed, printed out, and stacked in his office, just ready to go at beck and at moment's notice. But whatever.
Yeah. I guess my question, if I had one for you guys, is realistically, and I guess the real question is this an aberration or is this a sign? Because if it's an aberration, you can dust yourself off. You're like, you know what? 2020 sucked. We weren't good this year. But if you look at the talent we have coming back, if you look at what we got coming in over the next couple of years, we should be good again pretty quickly. Or is this a sign?
Dude, I mean, no one knows what the hell's going on. This is one of the most surprising seasons in college football history, right? Like, and that's proven by the stats. We're the only team to be in the top 10 and go start 0-5. And there's 100 different ways you can diagnose it, and no one knows what the hell is going on, right? Like, anyone who confidently tells you an answer is lying to themselves, including you, Mike McMahon, who says everything's going to be great, right?
I did say that.
Yeah,
I think it's a good question, Tobias. The way I would answer it, I mean, kind of like Kevin, I can't give a definitive answer, and you're foolish if you try. This team... and I don't just mean the players, but certainly them included, but coaching staff as well, probably right on up to athletics administration. Everyone involved with the enterprise of Penn State football needs this offseason to get here tomorrow. They need some time to sit back, do some soul searching, look in the mirror, everyone involved. And I think it can be an aberration. But unless everyone, and that starts with the guy at the top, and I like James, and we're pretty supportive of him here, but I mean, he has his flaws like we all do, and I think one of them, from what I've observed, is a reluctance to accept criticism and to back off of his kind of chosen methods, even when they're not working. And I think there are some things that need some wholesale re-examination. And if James finds it within himself to be humbled by, oh, and whatever we end up, and has some introspection here over the offseason, I think he can turn it around. I think he's got that toolbox. But if he doesn't, if he thinks he's just going to keep hammering away at Michigan, Michigan, Michigan tweets and not change anything, then we might be circling the drain. That's my feeling. Mike, the mailman looks so pained. He looks pained. I'm depressed, Mike, the mailman. Thanksgiving.
Brandon, does a head coach or all the coaches at the end of the season individually evaluate every player in front of the player, or do they not do that? I think it might be a good idea to evaluate every player person to person. Whatever position you're in, whatever position you're in, do they do that?
Like it's done by the staff, right? So the position coach has that conversation with the player.
Each individual.
Like when I coached, we would definitely sit down as a staff and talk about every guy on the roster. I mean, you definitely do that.
Yeah, but do you talk to the person one on one, the player?
It would depend. Yeah, the position coach does, not the head coach.
Okay.
All right. I mean, sometimes you have a head coach that'll sit in on the meeting with the position coaches. He'll go around at the end of the year. It depends on the coach. I don't know enough about Franklin to know if he's that guy, if he just has a position coach do it, or if he comes in and each guy comes in. I know Saban was very much like, I want to meet with each group, and I want to make myself available for each player to.
Well, Will Fries, it was, you know, it was a good try. That's all I can say, buddy. Good luck. You know, that's a lot of, he's one of those conversations.
Hey, wait, what's those incident about that? He's going to go pro in something other than sport.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Hey, man, know, Mike, hey, got his degree. I mean, let's see. Hey, look, yeah. That degree matters, and I'm sure he'll do some great things. And
he achieved more than four of the five of us did in the game of football. So good for him.
Hey, man, look, I we joke about things, but, and I've said this before, if a guy makes it to Penn State, outside of coming from the IMGs or some of these like academy high schools, that guy's probably the best high school player that community has seen.
Yeah.
Like, cause again, like Brandon said earlier, like, fam, you don't get to a school like Penn State if you aren't thinking that you could go pro. Mm-hmm. You aren't going to a place like that if you weren't, you know, a top-ranked guy. Like, you ain't just getting up in Penn State because you work hard and you're a nice young man. Like, nah, fam, you got to be a hoss.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know how these guys are mentally dealing with getting beat. I mean, I remember after they were 0-3 and Sean Clifford was like, I've never been on an 0-3 team. Because, again, most of those guys, if you're at Penn State, your high school team is really good. Even if your high school team isn't good,
yeah,
it's good because you're on it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, put it this way. When I walk into Williamsport Area High School, like, no one cares. But when Will Fries walks into Cranford Area High School in New Jersey, they jump. How high do you want me to jump, Will? Thanks for coming back. And, you know, so good. We can't hate on the guy too much.
Nah, man. I mean, but, you know, but also, but I mean, hey, but these are the things when when you're in a bad way, you're not winning, and everything is noticeable. Everything is part of it. And because, again, when you're 0-5, you're not doing anything right.
Yeah, very true. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I mean, I will say this. If there was one position group that I like, I would say the receivers.
Right now, yeah.
When they can get the ball. I mean, Jahan Dotson is – I think he's as good as any receiver in the Big Ten. I like Parker Washington. I think he has a bright future. Up until he got injured with whatever injury, Pat Fryer moved as a tight end, still was as good as anybody when he was healthy, and maybe he really was hurt going back to the Ohio State game, which would explain a lot.
Yeah.
Remember that 74-yard pass that in the Nebraska game? He probably scores that if he's right.
It's a good point.
You know, but you start looking at a team. Okay, hey, Journey Brown was supposed to be a first day running back.
Yeah.
Noah Cain probably would have been close to that. Mm-hmm. Noah Cain, you got to remember, this guy has like 6 or 7 family members who had coronavirus. He couldn't even go back to Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
He had to go anywhere but Baton Rouge. You make all that sacrifice to play football, and you get injured on the first series of the season.
Yeah, it's tough.
Nebias,
so, go ahead.
I want to say that it has been kind of bleak around here the last several weeks. And it's another positive of bringing in somebody who has not been covering the team for a long time is you have been able to kind of come in and look at the thing from fresh eyes, you know, from a journalist's perspective, from somebody who has, you know, been around the country, seen big time football played really at its peak down in the SEC country for sure. So you've got that perspective, but you have been watching Penn State forever. It's got to make me feel a little bit better about the whole thing that, like, it's, you know, it's, this is not the end of the end here.
Listen, you guys still have players. Now, you don't have a quarterback, at least. Maybe the Roberson kid is good. Maybe the Villo kid from Canada, maybe he's the guy. Maybe Bo Pribula is the guy in the next couple of years. Maybe. I mean, it's going to start and end for you guys with quarterback. It's disappointing how much Sean Clifford regressed And you never know what that is.
Did he just not get enough? Shocking.
Yeah, did he just not get enough reps? Because from what I saw last, I'm like, okay, you know, he's an average quarterback. He can run a little bit.
I would take that in a bias. If he was an average quarterback, I would take that in two seconds at this point.
Well, if he played just average, you guys are probably 3-2.
Exactly.
Maybe even 4-1. Yeah. Because here's the thing. In the Indiana game, why would Devin Ford be the one with the ball? You can blame the kid for scoring a touchdown, but that's his first time playing in a Big Ten game.
Yeah.
He was the third string running back up until that point. He was basically only supposed to see the field in mop-up duty and, you know, maybe somebody gets hurt. One of them gets hurt. Not both. Lee and Holmes, they're freshmen. And no offense to them, but neither one of them is Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Saquon Barkley or whatever. And that's not to say that they won't have good Penn State careers. They probably will. But they're not that guy. Because you're not supposed to be that often as a freshman. But you know who gets those guys? Ohio State.
Yep.
Close. And you know what? Yeah, you know what else? They got two more guys behind them that are just as good.
Yeah.
You know who doesn't put their running back in that position to make that play? Is Ryan Day or that jackass Dabo Swinney.
Well, but here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, though. You know, but Ryan Day's third-string running back probably could start at 98% of schools.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. So even if you do have it in his hands, plus Ryan Day also would have Justin Fields. And Justin Fields would have had the ball there if you did have the third string running back there. And he would have known what to do. I can't blame the kid, but that's the situation. And too often, or even at Nebraska game, let's go back there. They were not ready to see Luke McCaffrey. And you know how I know? Because Jesse Lacata slipped up and said it for a second. Now, he recanted. He went back. But he slipped up and said, hey, well, you guys expected to see so much McCaffrey. He said, well, yeah, we were surprised. We thought we were going to see both of them. And then I followed up. Hey, was you being surprised, did that catch you off guard? Oh, no, we weren't surprised. We were expecting to see both. We were ready for either one of them. Okay, sure you were.
Yeah.
Offseason cannot get here soon enough. Offseason cannot get here soon enough.
Before we wrap here, Nebias, do you see a win on the schedule here for the Nittany Lions in the next three games?
I mean, Michigan's not good, and Rutgers isn't good. You know how I know? Because I watched them both play last night. They both are pretty bad. But I have no reason to believe that Penn State will win a football game until they win one. They have shown me no reason to believe that they can play 60 minutes of football and win. I would like to be wrong because it'd be nice to, you know, see them get a win just to not have to write about losing and all the depressing stuff. Because, like, what do you ask when the script is to say, I could literally take my game stories and I could just switch the names of the schools and switch the names of the players and you guys wouldn't know the difference.
No.
Because what happens? The other team scores on his first possession or their second possession, they get a lead. Penn State doesn't score on theirs. They eventually get into a situation where they have to go for it on fourth down. They don't get it because they don't trust the play because they can't run the ball when they need to run the ball. So they can't get 2 yards on the ground because you get knocked back on 3rd and 1, then you go back to 4th and 2. So now you got to do a stupid pass play that Will Levis doesn't know, or he only knows that one thing that everybody on the Iowa team knows is coming because that's the only thing that he can do. So, of course, the play doesn't work because it goes to Jahan Dotson. By the way, Jahan Dotson's getting double teamed there because Pratt Freiermuth isn't in the game.
Yep.
And you can't run the ball. So they don't have to fear you running the ball. So you have to go that one way to the one guy who you can rely on, and he's double teamed. So then you don't get the fourth down there. Or maybe it's against Indiana, you don't get the fourth down. Maybe against Ohio State, you don't get the fourth down. So then now you give short field goal position. So now you go from a chance of maybe making a single-digit game oh, then you're down 24-7 or 21-7 or whatever it is. It's literally the same damn movie every week. So what do you ask at that point? Hey, coach, how can we turn the ball over? Oh, well, we took Sean Clifford. I can turn it over too much. Well, then Will Levis fumbled it twice. So then now we had to put Sean Clifford back in. Yeah, he threw a couple. He threw a couple touchdowns, but then he also threw interceptions and fumbled it again. Right. So then now which one of them do you start the next week? Because if I'm a Penn State football player, I don't believe either one of them is going to do a damn thing. So,
yeah.
No, as bad as Michigan is and as bad as Rutgers is and as bad as Michigan State is, I have no reason right now to pick Penn State to win a football game. And it's a shame. And you hope that it's just the thing that's just this year only, they can correct it.
Well, we're with you, man, on that point, for sure.
Yeah, here we are. We're all in the same boat. We're all trying to generate content from this god-awful season and take as many different angles on it as we can. Nubias, it's been a pleasure having you join us, man. You are welcome back anytime. I hope in the not-too-distant future we will be able to do one of these or have you on TV or whatever, and we will do this in person over actual bourbon. It'll be a hell of a lot better. But tell everyone in the audience where they can find your work on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, where they can follow you on social media, anything you want to plug, man. Plug away.
All right, so obviously check us out at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We also do a college football podcast where we do it our Pitt writers because it is Pittsburgh, so we do have to kind of cover the Pitt Panthers. Sure. And with Craig Meyer and Johnny McConagle. You guys may know him because he used to cover Penn State and went there. And so we do a podcast together. Yeah, we do a podcast together. It drops on Tuesdays, North Shore Drive. It's fun. Well, talking about Penn State isn't so much fun right now, but apparently Pitt is pretending to win a couple football games until they get their butts whipped by Clemson next week. But anyway, then, you know, the rest of the stuff following Pitt. It's going to be Penn State on the Post-Gazette. Follow me on Twitter, NWilborn19. It's NWILBORN19. That is my Twitter, Snapchat, IG, all the social medias that you can find. It's the same name, same handle. I'm out there, and check it out on the Post-Gazette and give me a follow and engage with me. I want to get to know more Penn State alumni, man. I'm here. I'm going to cover the team. We're going to, you know, hopefully be based in State College next season. I'm at the games. We're out here, and we're trying to grind, man. We're trying to compete and do it a little bit different.
Good stuff,
man. I'll put a point on that. You do a little bit different to bias, because, and you're not going to react to this because they're your colleagues, but 90% of the questions asked during these press conferences are total and an embarrassment to journalists. And you always know, I have like 3, 4, and now 5 guys and girls that I will listen to the whole thing to get their questions, and within 5 games you are now one of them, because you'll be getting all the fanboy homers that Chris talked about at the beginning that have been on the beat for 30 years. They'll be like, oh, what does it say about the resilience and blah blah blah, and then you'll get into bias being like, James, what'd you tell your daughters about Kamala Harris winning the election? It's just like, all right, this is why I'm tuning in, right? Like,
Let me tell you this real quick. So, Franklin's wife, Phoebe, went to Howard. She's a Howard alum, and she also plays Alpha Kappa Alpha. For those of you who don't know, that's AKAs, that's the sorority, Pink Arena, that's the sorority that Kamala is in. Phoebe is her chapter sister. Now, Kamala's obviously a few years older, but same sorority, same chapter. So, yeah, there was a couple of different layers there.
That's cool.
Yeah, and by the way, man, Evan, that was a great response, and thank you for doing that, and thank you for being so kind and answering the questions there, Kevin.
Yeah, he was good.
Just whatever you do, man. Every week.
I don't know if you caught that one. I
caught it a little bit, but I've been drinking here too.
Nubias, during these press conferences, just make sure you know you're on mute before you comment on your colleagues' questions during the press conference.
You were there for that one.
We'll talk about that off here.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway.
Hold on. No, we got it. Now we can't leave our listeners. I'm not going to ask Tobias to talk about it on air.
That's fine. You go ahead.
Are you talking about this past weekend?
Oh, yeah. If anyone, it's a 9-minute video at the post-game press conferences, Jahan Dotson's 9-minute video. Watch the video uploaded to Blue White Illustrated instead of the official Penn State account, because it shows the journalist's faces. And there's a question asked by a media member a terrible question. He was on this podcast.
It was not a terrible question, but we'll talk about that later.
It was a bad question.
It was a good question. It could have been phrased better.
He is on this. Yes, the setup could have been a little better.
Yeah,
He has been a podcast guest before, so I won't name his name or badmouth him personally. But it was asked, and the rest of the beat was not muted. And a good friend of mine from back in the collegian days, Audrey Stuyter, when this reporter asked a question,
you gotta name her, but not-
No. I love Audrey. This is a compliment to Audrey. She leans back in her chair and goes, "Oh, Jesus Christ!" And then the camera goes to her, and then the reporter goes, "Excuse me, Audrey, could you please mute yourself?" And then the whole beat just cracks up. It was like 30 seconds of amazing awkwardness, and no one cares but me. Please watch the Jahan Dotson postgame press conference.
Can we do this one thing before we go? Okay, so all right. So if you guys, there's a little bit of inside baseball here. So on those Zooms, at the home games, pickers were all in the press box, right, for the most part. That particular reporter actually, never mind, I won't even say. All right, because that would be giving away too much. But the point is, you're all in the press box, and they have these different Zoom rooms, the breakout rooms, because they have the different players. So Jahan Dotson was one of the last guys finishing up. So, like, they had Brenton Strange in one room and defensive players, no quarterback. I wonder why, but that's all in the conversation. And, of course, you know, about six players in the different rooms, Lamont Wade, so on and so forth. So everybody's room was finishing up, and Dotson's room was, like, the last one. So basically at least 30 of us were all in the room at the same time. Typically, you may have like six or seven in one room, seven or eight in another room, depending on how it's going, trying to get in and out. And so basically, yeah, when that happened, everybody, and so the press box is like erupting at the same time. I was also on Zoom. So it was like a whole bunch of signal stuff, and I'm just glad I was muted because, oh boy, it was hilarious.
Beautiful.
Zoom etiquette for 2020. Make sure you double check that mute button every single time.
Well, Nabias, the move in Ann Arbor this weekend, Friday night, you tell me, it's either Holmes Brewing or Ashley's, or both, but you pick the order, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I guess I'll start with the brewery and finish up, assuming, I guess, can we even go places? I mean,
Midnight, Michigan and Midnight, so we'll scope it out. Oh, make sure
you're,
it's not.
Wait, so you're on the trip? Are you going?
I'm there. Yeah, I'm there.
Oh, Friday. Sweet. Yeah, hit me. You know what to do.
Yeah, so we'll make sure it's not a rave. We'll make sure people are following the rules, and then we'll make our decisions accordingly.
Yeah, you have fortunately connected with the guy who knows the best places to drink in every single Big Ten town. So you got the hook.
And I'm staying in Ann Arbor on this trip because, like, you know, that's the other thing about it.
Yeah.
That's the other thing about it. Like, you could actually stay in these college towns and hotels and get reasonable.
Yeah, because they're dirt cheap now. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Nabias, again, thanks for joining us, man. This was great. We really, really had a good time. This is, I think, got the mood level up a little bit, and that's great heading into the holidays for sure. Off season cannot get here fast enough. Michigan weekend looming. So if you're listening, we're going to be right back. We're going to re-rack this whole thing. We'll be back in 24 hours with another little preview show of the Michigan Wolverines. Thanks again to Nabias Wilborn of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. For Brandon Noble, Kevin Horan, Mike the Mailman, I'm Chris Bucanani. Stick with us. We'll be back real soon.
That was the Obligatory PSU Podcast, presented by HappyValley.com. Like and follow at Obligatory PSU.
Every time you hit like and subscribe, Mike the Mailman smiles.